Ignition sequence start.
See, Elijah Wan has David Robinson just bamboozled.
Kelly out of the corner for three, hit it!
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
The Houston Rockets select Yao Ming.
McGrady at the buzzer.
Yes!
Paul touch it up!
The conductor! Goes to Hart. On Thompson steps right, shoots for the win, a three, he got it!
I know what we need to do. I know exactly what we need to do.
Russell Westbrook.
James Harden.
I know what's at stake.
It's going to be scary. Not for us.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. I am your host, Jackson Gatlin, at JT Gatlin on Twitter, producer with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship here in Houston. Today, I'm joined by none other than our very own Forrest Walker, Red Nation blogger, podcaster, and eternally optimistic Rockets fan. How's it going today, man?
Thank you for calling me an optimist. I appreciate that retreat.
Well, you know, I've been meaning to try and get you on the pod for a while, and I'm happy that we could get you in here today, especially considering all the things that are going on surrounding this Rockets team in the recent, you know, the last 24 hours or so. Maybe this is your expertise, more or less, to dive in when things are at their bleakest.
I honestly thought that that's probably what was going on because, this is, I guess, kind of my wheelhouse, right?
I mean, absolutely. So first things first, you know, we'll dive into some of the news from today. We've got some you know, breaking, maybe not breaking news regarding Chris Clemens. We'll get to that in a second. But there's also some rumors surrounding Russell Westbrook. But what was your first reaction to the loss against the Warriors?
I mean, of course, because that's the only way you can react to anything that the Houston Rockets do, in my opinion. Whatever they do, of course they were always going to do that. You just couldn't have seen it beforehand because they make it impossible to see it beforehand. This had all the markings of a Houston loss on it ahead of time to me, which is that there's no reason they should have lost this game, which makes it a prime suspect right away.
So, I mean, looking at this game, there wasn't much else that they could have done other than just... We kind of have been arguing in circles about it all over Twitter for the last 24 hours. People have been saying, okay, well, you know, they should have changed their offense in the fourth quarter. And I'm kind of on the fence with that because you're getting open shots, yes, but I firmly, and I said it in this morning's podcast, I was basically like, look, in no offense ever in NBA history has it been okay to just simply not let your best player be involved in the offense. And so... You know, other people have been chiming in saying, yeah, it's absolutely on Mike D'Antoni to find a way to circumvent the James Harden double team and get him more involved in the game. Do you think that's a possibility, or do you just kind of see them rolling with the punches, as it were, and just letting the shooters kind of shoot?
Realistically, I think they're just going to let the shooters kind of shoot. This is a topic that I have some thoughts about, and like you said, is hotly debated in the Twitter sphere. Whenever their offense... fails to operate like this, it's a hard subject, right? Because they'll go out there and they'll get open looks and they'll just clank the shots. And a lot of people say that, well, they should have a backup plan for when the shots are clanking. But I don't, like, if you don't take the open shots, right? If you're actually generating open looks in that 4-on-3 and you can't hit them, I don't know how helpful it is to try to do something differently to try to, for example, just get to the rim, because once you concede the 3-point line, you have a cascade failure of your offense. Once the opponent knows you're not going to shoot threes, they don't have to guard you from 3-point anymore, and then they have a lot less on their plate to try to shut down the offense completely. So I do think it would be good to be able to get James Harden involved in the plays, because the whole point of that defense is to keep James Harden from touching the ball. And yeah, that's where this one's harder than a lot of other games. Like other games where they're all playing their whole offense and they're just not making shots, I think it's a little easier to say, well, they just need to make shots. In this case, they have to figure out how to get James Harden involved. They have to figure out how to attack this more than just, well, it's a 4-on-3, so we're probably automatically going to succeed. Because in this case, they didn't. And, you know, they're facing Draymond Green out there, who's an excellent defender, but it isn't like the rest of the team is a whole bunch of defensive stalwarts who are going to do everything right every time. This is a Warriors team that's lost a lot of games, and they should be able to break down this defense. And the fact that their 4-on-3 didn't work says that something has to be done, and I'm glad it's Mike D'Antoni getting paid to figure that out and not me, I guess.
I mean, that's absolutely true. He's the guy that gets paid the big bucks. He's the guy that has to try and figure out what's going on with this team and try to get them into a place where they can be, you know, championship contenders, which is that's the expectation. The bar has been set. This team has shown us in previous years that they do have the talent level to be there. And while it's a different team, I think you can still argue that this team is way too talented to be having these types of losses. And, you know, it's really perplexing because you look at some of the games throughout this month, right? You had the win at Toronto. Then you had the really good win in LA against the Clippers. Then you've also got the really bad losses against the Spurs, the Kings, the Pistons on the second night of a back-to-back, and now the Warriors. So this team has this really interesting ability to play down to their opponents and then to also play up to their opponents, which is honestly, it's almost as polarizing as James Harden is in a way.
Yeah, I've noted this. I mean, we saw this last season as well to some degree, but I don't know whether it's just me, but it felt like it was less pronounced last season. Like this is a trait we've seen in a lot of Russell Westbrook teams. And my pet theory is that Russell Westbrook is basically a basketball chaos elemental, right? He goes out there and makes things happen a lot. And once things become chaotic like that, it's kind of hard for either team to really pull out ahead. It becomes a lot more, noisy and variant. So this is a half-baked theory, but it really feels like this team is able to stick with anyone, but anyone's able to stick with them too. And it's weird to see. Like I mean, they're going to have bad losses. Every team has bad losses and it's not great for them, but it just happens as part of playing a sport. Right. But it feels like we haven't seen this team really be able to pull away from most teams. There have only been a few real blowouts and we're like a third of the way into the season. It feels like they should be able to put bad teams away, if not always, with some degree of regularity, but it seems like they're in like the 10-point range with every single team, no matter where they're at in the last 10 minutes of the game.
That's definitely frustrating, not being able to build up those leads and kind of get to a place where you actually feel safe kind of closing out a game, or where you get to maybe the end of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth, and you have this feeling where, yeah, maybe we can rest our starters, you know, guys that are constantly pushing the 40-minute mark in this Mike D'Antoni 8-man rotation. Really, it's more of a 7-man rotation at times because the eighth guy is getting like maybe 10 or 15 minutes tops at this point, which can be a little frustrating on any given night. Now, we're going to keep talking. We got a bunch of other topics we want to hit on. I apologize. We buried the lead on you guys. We will get to the Chris Clemens signing here in just a moment in segment two. But really quickly, a word from our friends over at Casper. The original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface with the right amounts of both sink and bounce. You can get $100 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/lockedonmba at checkout. Terms and conditions will apply. Now, if you can't visit Casper right now, you can find this and all other offers from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. And we are back in here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. I am joined by Forrest Walker. You can find him on Twitter at DoNots. Now, I got to ask you this really quick. What's the history behind this username?
Well, it's D-U-N-O-T-S, do nots. And it's a username that I began using in high school, which was approximately 36 million years ago during the rise of early primates. And I've just never used it for everything ever since because no one else has ever wanted that pretty random collection of letters. There may be some secret history behind it, but no one will ever know.
Okay, so it remains a mystery. That's totally fine. All right, I can accept that. I can accept that it will be a mystery username. But anyways, you can go follow him on Twitter if you're not already doing so. I highly suggest you give him a follow. Now, we buried the lead. I apologize for that. We kind of got caught up a little bit talking about the frustrating Warriors loss. But Chris Clemens has been signed to an NBA deal now. He's off of his two-way. Now, I guess technically it hasn't actually been officially announced, but, you know, Shams and a bunch of other guys are already reporting on it, which means it's basically as good as done.
Yeah, this is great. I love this. This was one of the best Rockets news I've received in a while, to be honest.
I mean, Clemens, for what he brings to the table, yeah, he's a 5'9 guard. Maybe at times he's a bit of a defensive liability just because he is not as, you know, not as tall as an average NBA player. But, you know, he uses his body well, and he's just lightning in a bottle when it comes to offense. The fact that he can jump off the bench and drop in buckets like nobody else. I mean, his Twitter handle is what? It's like ice cold buckets or something like that. It's very true.
Yeah, he is one of the most willing-to-shoot dudes I have ever seen. It is, I guess it's got to be that, like, short guy mentality, right? Which, 5'9", by the way, is not short for humans, but it's short for the NBA in a big way. And he has no conscience whatsoever. It's really fun to watch. And he not only has no conscience, but, like, I love seeing him try to defend bigger guys because he does not act cowed by it at all. He doesn't care. He has nothing to lose, and he is there to give 110% on every play because why wouldn't he? So I'm really happy to see him not be stuck in that Daniel House situation of running out of two-way days and then just kind of being in limbo. He's getting out of limbo. He's going to have an actual 3-year contract and be on the roster. So hopefully we'll see more of him for the next few years.
You know, you mentioned the, you know, him guarding bigger guys. I think one of the funniest moments maybe this season had to have been during the Denver Nuggets game where Nikola Jokic was out there at the 3-point line and Clemens got switched onto him. And I can't remember if I tweeted this or if I just commented to somebody that I was watching the game with, but I said something like, it looked like a dad and his son like out there at the park just playing pickup. And, you know, Clemens is pressed all up into Jokic and he's maybe like just past Jokic's waist. Like, I know that's a hyperbole, but still, it was hilarious to see actually take place on an NBA court.
Mass-wise, that is a hilarious comparison.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, Jokic is definitely, we'll just say Jokic is cultivating mass this season because he definitely came in a bit bigger than he did last year, that's for sure. Now, past that, there is a bit of other Rockets news swirling about today, and I'm not going to give it, you know, I'm going to take it with a very, 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 very tiny grain of salt. But Ryan Russillo of The Ringer has apparently reported that the Rockets are looking to trade Westbrook, or they're at least listening for trades about Westbrook, that Morey is, you know, at least picking up the phone if people are calling and inquiring about him. What are your immediate thoughts about this, Forrest?
Well, thought number one with any NBA rumor is that I want to see one of the big two validate it before I really give it much credence. If Shams and Waj aren't talking about it, then it's not real yet. But it wouldn't surprise me, honestly. And here's why. The reason this wouldn't particularly surprise me is that the way it's worded sounds like he knows people who know people who like say that basically Russell Westbrook is available. And honestly, if you're anyone other than James Harden, you're probably available for the right price. That's because that's the way the Rockets operate. They're going to listen. And that's, I think, the key is that they're going to listen. Why would they not listen? This is Daryl Morey we're talking about. He always wants to, he wants to find black swans. And you find black swans by listening to every possible offer. So until I hear more about it, I don't see this as like a panic-worthy move, but it's perhaps interesting, but not really surprising, if that makes any sense.
You know, my immediate reaction to hearing it was I did have a slight bit of a worry because there was that whole issue again with the whole James Harden, Chris Paul, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire this past summer about the fractured relationship. And obviously a lot of that was probably blown out of proportion, but I do think there was a little bit of truth there. Now, I think that Morey and company were ready to go into the season with Harden and Chris Paul and kind of run it back, so to speak. But then Paul George forced his way out of Oklahoma City, Westbrook became available, and the rest is history. So I do take it with a grain of salt, but again, because of those reports and just, you're right, Morey listens to everything. Morey's constantly looking for ways to improve the team. So if a trade offer were to present itself that he thought was, you know, going to increase the Rockets' chances at a championship, then I'm sure he would jump at it. But at this current moment, for anybody listening, for all of you listening, just I wouldn't put too much stock into it, like Forrest said, until one of the big two, Shams or Waj, actually say something about it.
Yeah, or if we hear, like, you know, Friedman or someone talking about this, we can give it some more weight. But yeah, I assure you that Daryl Morey is aware of all the concerns about Russell Westbrook and keenly aware of that contract. So it would surprise me if he wasn't keeping a plan B in his back pocket at all times, is what I'll say.
Do you think Morey cringes more when Russ misses a three or when he takes a mid-range jumper?
I mean, he's better at the mid-range jumpers usually. Oh, God, it's bad, man. I don't know how much I want to go into my emotional reaction to Russell Westbrook, but it's not always a good one.
You know, for those of you that don't know or that don't get involved in the Twitter sphere as much as Forrest and I do, during preseason, Forrest actually started a Twitter thread for when Russell Westbrook took mid-range jumpers, and the thread was literally just no, 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 no. It was one of the most amazing, because it wasn't just for one game; it was over pretty much the entire preseason. Yeah, no, I'm a little saddened that this didn't carry over to the regular season, but it was very entertaining to get us through some of those slow preseason weeks.
And I also have an abandoned yes thread of when he drives to the rim, which that always makes me happy. I think he's very good at that, and I think that because he is very good at that.
Russ is good at driving to the rim. I will give you that. And watching him drive to the rim and see him just fly by defenders with ease, it frustrates the hell out of me because I just think, why can't he do that every time? And then I always have to calm myself down and remind myself, hey, he's not a 2K player. You can't just hold down right trigger and just, you know, bully your way to the rim every possession. He is a human being. He has his limits. But then he does things like chuck up 8 3-pointers, and I'm just like, why?
Yeah, that was hard to watch. But to be fair to Russ, everyone except for James Harden was also hard to watch.
Hey, put some respect on Daniel House's name. 5 of 12 from behind the arc.
Fair enough. That's true. He was hitting them. But even those that we normally love and respect out there were doing us dirty out in the Bay.
All right, now we got one more guy. Just became a free agent. Want to get your thoughts on him. Jeff Green, yes or no to joining the Houston Rockets? Would you want him on this team?
I can see the case for Jeff Green. Jeff Green is a guy where if they were to sign him, I would smile and give a thumbs up while, like, quietly experiencing flop sweats.
Flop sweats? Okay, that bad. Now, how come that bad?
Jeff Green is bad, is the problem. He's a lot older than he used to be, and he's always been extremely unreliable. Many teams have thought Jeff Green was a solution, and the only hope, I think, for him helping out a team is that he doesn't need to be very much of a solution. Like, if he is just one more guy they get for, like, basically insurance and, like, extra depth, then I'm okay with it, but I do not trust Jeff Green to play real minutes in basically any situation. I've just seen this run so hot and so cold so many times that I don't want another hot and cold fountain on this team right now. But I get that he is a talented guy and can provide some spot minutes, and they badly need bodies and they badly need length. So I see the case. I'm not going to say they shouldn't sign him, but I'm afraid of them signing him, if that makes any sense.
No, I think that makes perfect sense. In fact, you know who Jeff Green kind of reminds me of, especially if he were to sign with the Rockets? Josh Smith.
Ooh, yeah, that's a pretty fun comparison. I like that.
So who knows? Maybe they pick up Jeff Green, and then maybe they go down 3-1 in a series later this postseason in the second round, and Jeff Green becomes our otherworldly savior by draining, what was it, 4 triples in the fourth quarter?
If Jeff Green and Tyson Chandler just, like, dunk over and over again on the Mavs in some game, I'll be extremely happy with that.
Were they AAU teammates back in the day?
I don't know that they were, but if they were, I'm sure we'll hear about it quite a lot.
Oh, absolutely. Even more so than the whole Trevor Ariza had to borrow a pair, or sorry, not, what was it, Gerald Green having to borrow a pair of shoes. God, they beat that one to death. That one bothered me the most.
Did you know he was in his driveway playing basketball against his dog?
All right, and we're going to wrap things up for this second segment right here. We'll be back in just a moment with our final segment here at Locked On Rockets, so don't go anywhere. And welcome back into Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. I'm here with Forrest Walker, and we are kind of walking, no pun intended, through a bunch of different Rockets topics. And right now, the last one that I want to get to before we jump into a surprise little, we'll call it a little game that I have planned out for Forrest, is resting Westbrook on the first night of back-to-backs as opposed to the second night. Now, I think it was Adam Spolane who kind of presented this as an option on Twitter a few weeks back. What do you think about that option, Forrest?
I have seen this case presented by I believe you, among others, in fact. And I like this idea, honestly. It kind of reminds me of how they would stagger James Harden and Chris Paul during games. And this is I think this works, right? You want to have either Russ or James Harden on the floor at all times. And if you're not going to play one of them in both nights of a back-to-back, well, it's probably nice to let Russ be a fresh player on the second night of the back-to-back, right? Like, all the points that I made, just I could just make them all over again. And I think they make a lot of sense. Like, having an energy player who can keep your team from slowing down too much, I think is fantastic. Also, when everyone else can't shoot because they have dead legs, maybe Russ's shooting will look better.
I don't know how much stock we're going to place into that. The shooting, I mean, the basketball gods aren't that kind to us. All right. Well, with that being said, I want to go ahead and dive into what will be the way we round out our show today. So I have a brand new segment here at Locked On Rockets, and it's going to be called Do's or Do Nots.
Oh my, this is fun.
All right. So I'm just going to go through. I got about, 10 or 12 little do's or do nots. And so I'm going to run through these and you get to answer do or do not. And you give us a little reason behind your decision, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
All right, so here we go. Gary Clark makes it past his January 7th guarantee date. Do or do not?
Ooh, I think that he do, because surprisingly, he's actually been getting spot minutes here and there, something that I thought would be basically impossible for him when he was sent down to the G League recently. So at this point, I'm willing to buy-in.
All right, perfect. Isaiah Hartenstein makes it past his January 17th guarantee date.
Oh, that's a hard one. I will say tentative do not, because he hasn't really been showing as much as they'd like, but if they are actually willing to pay the luxury tax, then I could be proven wrong.
All righty. Westbrook makes the All-Star team. Do or do not?
Do, because he just has so much name recognition that he's gonna get the requisite votes.
All right. Harden finishes with a higher scoring average than last season. Do or do not? Now, notice I didn't give a number. I just wanted to say higher than last season. So higher than 36.
Yeah. Man, this is... do not, because...
He's at 38.1 right now. I'm just gonna throw that out there if that influences.
That's a great point, but it's looking so good for it right now, and we're all getting so excited about it that I feel like there is a phantom like disappointment looming in our future. So I'm gonna bet against us having a good time.
All right, so you're going do not on that one.
Do not.
Okay. All right. Capella makes the All-Star team. Do or do not?
Oh, do not.
Okay, all right. Ooh, that was a quick one. Oh, man. Okay, all right. Rockets make a trade for a rotation player. Do or do not?
I say do, mostly because their rotation is right now so short that any capable veteran is going to occupy that, like, 7/8 role, I think, quite easily. So I think there are a bunch of targets in mind. I think it might be someone that we didn't see coming or aren't excited by, but it'll be someone, and I think he's going to play.
You think they'll have somebody that actually beats out? Because right now, you know, you imagine you got Gordon coming back, Rivers, and then McLemore, kind of your first three off the bench. You think they'll be able to pull somebody in that beats out one of those three guys as kind of the top eight guy in the rotation?
I think someone will at least take, like, 10 to 15 minutes a game away from dudes like, from a couple of those guys and, like, guys like Gary Clark. There's a few minutes to be had, and I think someone will find themselves, whoever they trade for will probably find themselves as, like, 10 to 15 minutes a game at minimum.
All righty. Next one we got. Westbrook gets his three-point percentage above 30% for the season. Do or do not?
Do not, because he's very bad at shooting catch and shoot threes, and unfortunately for him, James Harden's very good at manufacturing those.
Okay. Last few ones here. Gordon comes back healthy and gets his average over 15 points per game. I want to say he's at like 10 something per game right now, based on the kind of lousy start to the season.
I say do, because he has the trust of the coaching staff, and he will be allowed to do what it takes to get a decent chunk of points in every game.
All righty. Harden winds up second in MVP voting for the fourth time. Do or do not?
Do. Always going to happen. Until it doesn't happen, I'm going to say it's always going to happen.
Eternally optimistic Rockets fan right here. Okay. And oh, two more. Daniel House posters somebody.
Do, because I really want that to happen, and he seems like the kind of guy who will figure out a way to dunk on like a Kevin Love or somebody.
Oh, you know who I'd love to see him actually yam one on? It would be Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, that'd be excellent.
Didn't Rudy Gobert just get postered by somebody the other day too? Like absolutely, who was it? Oh man, I'm gonna have to go look that up. All right, I'm pretty sure Rudy Gobert got yammed on by somebody the other day. Everybody go YouTube it right now. I'm pretty sure it happened. And it was really awesome, but I really want Daniel House to do it too.
Hopefully he can dunk as well as Ryan Anderson.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, that Rhino dunk. That dunk needs to be in the Smithsonian. It was so good. Came out of nowhere. Okay, and for our final question of do or do nots, Rockets finish as a top two seed.
Ooh, this is a spicy one.
I saved it for last.
Yeah, this is a nice spicy one. I want to preface this by saying that I expect that whatever I say will be incorrect, and that there's no way that I can accurately predict this, but I think it fits in with the pattern of things that actually do, that they manage to somehow find their way into the top two seeds of this extremely chaotic West. And then who knows what trials and tribulations await them once they get there, but it would just figure is my argument.
Okay, now even though we finished our segment of do's or do nots, I do want to ask, would you like to see them play the Clippers and or the Mavericks in the playoffs just because of that kind of rivalry factor for both those teams, or would you rather them avoid them and just get the easiest route to the finals possible?
Easiest route.
Easiest route? Okay, hey, you know, I love basketball, so I love a good competition. I'd say I'd maybe be okay with them facing one of those two teams along the way, and honestly, you're probably going to have to go through one of those teams at some point, but, you know, you're right, going through both of them does sound like a bit of a handful.
Hey, the main thing the Rockets can do for themselves and everyone else in the world is to get that freaking James Harden championship ring. So whatever makes them any steps closer to that is what I think needs to happen. Those would be, I think, fun series, but also a very stressful series. And I'm not ready for any more stress in my life.
Yeah, I don't know if my heart could take it. All right, Forrest, well, is there anything you want to plug before we get you out of here today?
Hey, come check me out on Twitter at DoNots, like you already said. And I'm going to have some grim takes, but trust me, I'm not a pessimist. I'm just a realist, everybody.
All right, everybody. That was Forrest Walker. Again, go follow him on Twitter at DoNots, DUNOTS. Now, I think that's where we'll wrap things up for today. As always, thank you so much for tuning in. Now, if you want more content before our next show, social media is where it's all happening. I'm on there at JT Gatlin. We just gave you Forrest's Twitter handle. And of course, the show is on there at Locked On Rockets. Past that, there's Facebook, which can be found at facebook.com/lockedonrockets, the website lockedonrockets.com, and of course our email address lockedonrockets@gmail.com. All of these are different ways that you can consume content about your Houston Rockets, ask me questions about the team, make suggestions for the show, place advertising inquiries. Really, it's just a way for you guys to reach out and let me know if there's anything that we can do to improve this experience for you, our listeners. Beyond that, if you'd be kind enough to subscribe and rate the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Himalaya, wherever it is that you listen to your podcast, if you could please subscribe and give us a 5-star review. That's how you get the benefit of episodes that go straight to your inbox before they show up on the previously mentioned social media outlets, and we get the benefit of looking attractive to potential advertisers and keeping this business model rolling along as the most regular podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. Again, for this... was it Thursday? Thursday, December 26th episode. This is where we break. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we hope to have you back again very, very soon, right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.